Our next presenter is John Hurd, and he's come all the way from up north to come down to Florida to join us from Manitoba. And he's going to talk about the diagnostic field school that you got going.
Thanks very much, Jody, and thanks for the invitation and opportunity to talk about our flagship extension activity that we participate in Manitoba here. And a couple of things, we have a completely different extension system than stateside. The extension services, we're government employees, and then our University of Manitoba co-work. So we're not married as you are in the States, we just have prefer to live together in convenience. And I'll explain some of that here. Some would say that we are actually squatting on this university farm, that should be considered cooperation. Those of us then delivering this school, about two-thirds of us are government employees or government extension, and we do have some key members that are from the university. In particular, the station manager, Alvin Iverson, and my co-worker, Anastasia Kubanek, who, this being a flagship activity, we don't have a captain, we have a ringmaster that runs this circus for us during the year. The rest of the folks there were the deliverers of this most recent school, and I'll talk about some of their backgrounds as we go through there. First of all, some of you need to put Manitoba on the map. You can see here that North Dakota and Minnesota are south of Manitoba. Our cropland annual acres are 10 million acres that are here, are just below the Canadian Shield, and we have a wide diversity of crops. We have more traditional prairie crops, cereals, the wheat crops, barley, oats, rye, and corn, oil seeds, canola, flax, hemp, sunflowers, and soybeans, and pulse crops, peas and dry beans, and an acreage of irrigated potatoes. But the recent thing that gives us a real impetus to do this extension work is the shift that we're seeing in acreages. And even if we go back as far as 2000, we could see acreage predominated by wheat, spring wheat here. Since then, we've seen an increase in canola surpass that. And that's led us to think, geez, we're in this monoculture of wheat and canola. And because during that time, traditional crops of barley and oats and flax just kind of fell off the table. And then this resurgence, some of you have maybe observed this too in your northern areas, we went from 50,000 acres of soybeans to this year over 2 million. And so that's the player, and there's been a number of extension opportunities and challenges that come with the adoption of a new crop. And we also see corn is emerging on the scene there also. So our school is a joint delivery of the government extension staff, specialists, some of the University of Manitoba scientists are involved. And then another important component is the folks with the money these days are the crop commodity associations. They have the checkoff dollars, and they've got some highly qualified staff, and they've been very important partners with us in delivering some of these lessons. We function in a two-week event in early July, and then participants will come for one of those days, and it's stretched from 6 up to 10 days in the past. We're now concentrated in 6 days. We concentrate on crop and soil diagnostics and scouting. One of our previous ringmasters said diagnostics means we do this on this farm so that mistake doesn't happen at home. And so that's been the focus, but also with a fair bit of scouting. There have been lessons in entomology, weeds, plant pathology, soil management, or crop management, and soil fertility and soil management. There's been 23 continuous years of the school. The first 3 years were heavily influenced by a major input and grain marketing company. And really that started with the advent of our push involvement of the Prairie CCA program. The CCA program really demanded a higher level of training to being offered to people that are advising farmers out there. And so that was the initial push. But once we were initiated here, then pretty well taken over by the extension and in Bridge Manitoba people to deliver. The metric that a lot of people look at is how many people have we brought in the door, and over since 2000, we see that we've fluctuated 400 to 500 participants annually. I'll remark about some of our slump or the leaner years there, but that's been important to us. We've done traditional evaluations, and I just want to report seven of the commonly reported features that we hear spoke about why people keep coming back. They do appreciate the small rooms because of the interactive, participative, hands-on training. One of the problems with that is that means that we need to provide a lot of concurrent sessions throughout the day and multiple days, and that's why we have a wide group of partners involved in this. Not only our extension staff, but commodity agronomists. We have to limit registrations, and sometimes that's the best advertisement that you can have, is to say, you better sign up now because you know we sell out. I have a waiting list here, not only a waiting list for participants to come, but a waiting list for presenters to get a piece of this action. And that's really neat too, is that people know they need to bring their A game if they're going to be on this, this stage. We have an exercise booklet, and this is kind of sets us apart. It's very important that people know that this is the workshop and training, it's not a field tour. And so there's an expectation that they will fill in the blanks, and through this they will identify, describe, rank, or rate for problems. Some people are very religious about filling out their book, and there's no prizes, and some people wonder, you know, where are the answers posted? Are they online, or do you take these plots to yield? We make sure we never take diagnostic plots to yield. We're supposed to know the answers before we put them into on display. It's very important to keep our lessons fresh and relevant. And I've just listed here, we try and track what each of our lessons has done over time. And as an example here, in the weed rotation, we could see that herbicide residues are almost a perennial problem. And so they're frequently featured versus others, herbicide drift, mechanical weed control, herbicide volume and rain passes. Well, here then we get a cyclical or a periodic reintroduction, and it's important that we don't let things become stale. Our entomology group is very disciplined. They run a four-year rotation. The 1 year is pest identification, the next year will be scouting, next year pest control, and this year happened to be beneficial insects and biome control. We have to partner for expertise, because we don't have all the expertise. And I've already mentioned here, the crop commodity agronomists, funded through their checkoff dollars and things, some good people in the canola, corn, flax, and pulse industry. And then we know that we aren't the leaders or lack resources to do a lot of precision ag stuff, but we have others that do in industry, so often we'll partner with them. Often what we bring to the table is more the interpretation about, you know, what this means. What, how can you assess the soil productivity? We have to make sure not to coddle your participants. And so we're in the field. We do provide shelter for periodic rain or when it is hot. The tents are very important, the washrooms in the field. We do have a extension center where we do lunch and air conditioning activities, but unless there's lightning, they're in the field. A lot of these scouts, they're quite used to scouting in adverse conditions, and there's no use coddling them for a day. We resist corporate sponsorship because of what we've heard from others. They want us to avoid bias. In the past occasion, we've had some corporate messages here, and we've been slammed in evaluations. We do ask that the corporations say, we want your support, do it through supporting your employees and your clients to come. And we do receive, you know, certainly donations of product and seed. Our charge is $175. That's Canadian, so that's $125 US. To come, there are group rates, and students receive a discount. And we do try to be rewarded for offering technology, and that's actually some of our own staff have been leaders or starters in using some of this drone or UAV type technology. Our component here is saying, well, let's really put this into scouting activities. You can see here in some of the university production fields, we'll implement boo-boos, and then we will scout through there. And here, for example, is some of our UAV images where things have shown up. This was one of the fields that you would run people through to see if they could actually use those images to help direct their scouting and then diagnose the problem. Back to our attendance, we did note some faltering attendance some 10 years ago, and that was when we found that we were trying to address the needs of the people and trying to teach them something that's good for them. And there were two things. We did lessons in forages and lessons in organic crop management. And these were not really activities that the majority of our people were involved in. Got a very successful organic program, and they have spun off and are doing some very good training of organic agronomists. Some of you may have seen that written up in the Crops and Soils magazine this summer. So they moved on from this, but again, that really wasn't meeting the needs of our retail agronomists and others. We like to track what are the acres that are influenced, and some people's self-reporting level of influence is different than others. You can see that in recent years, we only have 10 million acres in Manitoba, and we're getting double coverage. And as what someone mentioned earlier about evaluations, we tend to get about a 60% return. So the total coverage would be more than this. But the thing to note here is what happened in 2016. Well, we moved into the 21st century. We used SurveyMonkey. And of 550 participants, we had less than 20 responses. I don't know if anyone else has found this too. So that's what happens when you try to send out a survey in midsummer when these people are supposed to be very busy. So this is why what prompted our activity here. Our evaluation this past year was quite a bit more rigorous. We hit the books, we basically followed some of the procedures in the University of Wisconsin guideline, picked some of their procedures, and we would basically do a morning tree test. Before they started in the field, they assessed their current knowledge, and then at the end of the day, we muscled them back into the room, and we would do a post-test where they would say, indicate what they've learned and their intent to use information. When they came back, they were on a separate sheet of paper, so they didn't know what they had reported in the morning. And their level of understanding ranged from none to complete, and the plan to use in future advising and consulting was either never or always. And this is just an example of under the weed control agronomics, these were some of the specific lessons covered. First, the profile that came out of this, of the group, and again, we had more than 60% response in this, that we had a number of students, and some people say, oh, you're teaching students in this? These are very important people. These are often the feet on the ground for the retail runs and the crop consultants. So we consider them a very important group that we provide some training to here. So those are the people that are currently in university but working summer jobs. Our government and university group actually consists of usually of research technicians that work at the university, and all our good extension agents are busy instructing at this school. Right now we're in the process of retooling administrative staff, admin staff to help answer questions of the calendar that may walk in. And so many of those people are our government attendees that come in. And we see we've got a number of retail agronomists, crop consultants, farmers, and then people that identify themselves as other, probably a combination, a number of farmers who are also engaged in these activities. The years advising farmers, again, we tend to have a number on the early stage there, but it is nice to see veterans like myself that are still coming back and getting training and engaged in this type of training. There's a fairly high level of education for participants. Again, both students involved, the highest level they've achieved to this point is high school, and they will be moving into college or undergrad degree category. But we do have a fairly high level of educated staff that are participating. Years attending the Crop School, again, mostly front end, but we have, some would say, school learners that keep coming back. But we like to think it's the value of the school and what we're changing. And then again, the acres managed or influenced. And in a small print down here, I had to clean this data bit. Some rather overzealous or overconfident agents that like to think that they're influencing the full 9.6 million acres. So we have to be careful how we word this, what influence means now. So to run through some lessons and show you what the score showed us, here's some of the weed management lessons that this last year looked at a number of individual lessons that we would go through here. And I grouped those evaluations together. Also, we did feature again, we brought back some organic stuff because we thought there's some really neat developments, some high technology being used now. Some of you might be familiar with the cone cut that can go through cereals and nip out broadleaf weeds. Keep your fingers away from that. And then the other is the RoboCrop, which actually uses optical sensors to allow cultivation of 7-inch wide rows, so cereals. So some really neat innovations that we thought we would showcase there. But first looking at the responses and what we're targeting, we would like to see people responding that they're offering quite a bit level as far as their knowledge. So the pre-test morning was this, and then the post-test at the end of the day showed that yes, some of our folks, the ag retailers and farmers, are now meeting the standard that we had hoped. And then the next question, the intent to use in advising and scouting, and here I broke it out to those that were the herbicide managed lessons versus the mechanical. And I think we're still seeing that people like to see what's going on in the organic industry, but again, less opportunity to actually exploit that and use out the customers. But it's still important, we felt, to show that. And then we do believe what we read in the paper, and we say, well, this is an important yardstick of our impact if we have had some impact here and reduced injury. Our pathologists this year had a very challenging lesson on crop-resistant mechanisms, speaking about two crops in our area, black leg and canola and pitopa rootrot in soybeans, that have resistance that's gene for gene related. And so we had a field activity, but again, wanted to show, here's an example of where the starting education level was fairly low on recognition of this. And by the time you're at the end of the day, people have increased their knowledge of 2/3 after being through this session. And as far as intent to use for advising and scouting, well, we didn't reach our alpha level, but really the time for scouting, not for scouting but advising on this, is during seed selection. And knowing in the winter months when you're selecting your canola or soybean varieties as to which type of resistance you need to be targeting. Our insect entomology group, this year their focus rotation was on beneficial insects and predators and that type of thing. So that should go through scouting procedures for the beneficials, identification, and then using an economic threshold decisions. And using some technology here, and they were actually showcasing the aphid advisor of the University of Guelph in Ontario. One of the features of that is that you scout, you count your aphids, but you also count your predators. And out of that session, we had the initial pretest was showing little to moderate knowledge and appreciation of the beneficial insects. But we were very impressed, very happy with the post-test results that we had raised that level of awareness. And the intent to use was high with our ag retailer, crop consultants, and farmers. And now the biggest question our entomologist has is how do I get rid of the damned Asian lady beetles who are trying to get into the house for the winter. So it happened just 3 weeks after our school. We had aphid outbreak in soybeans, and this is sometimes it just has a very timely message, and that year, this past year, that was it. We're showing water management training here. Sometimes you need to use some shock value or some novel approaches here. Jody, I said I'd show a picture of Marla, and we bury and then zoom men's underwear in different cropping system areas, and this basically is a measure of residue decomposition and allows you then to interact and explain what are the processes taking place. Our main thing this year is look at crop roots and soil management, soil compaction, water use in cover crops. And through that, above a moderate level of training for many of our group, and we did achieve our quite a bit of knowledge in there. Where we were maybe lacking a little bit was the intent to use for advising and scouting. But what we did have with this is we only had 60% moisture rainfall this past year, and then we had record yields of wheat and canola based on stored soil moisture and the rooting characteristics. And since this school, we've had more than four opportunities or requests to do these talks at industry meetings. But sometimes you get a dose of reality. Sometimes the guy puts the evaluation together, puts a lot on there for lessons that was never taught. And our pathologist said, well, I didn't teach that lesson, but it's nice to know that simply being on a university farm, students think that they are learning. The value of the knowledge gained, our feedings are put this on. You know, I think people are resistant to saying the value is too high or will raise the cost of the school. But we do hear that they will recommend this to others. This is very similar to questions we've had in the past, so we continue to see this, that yes, it's one that they would recommend. They consider the diagnostic school very good compared to other educational opportunities. And in summary, in using the pre-test, post-test approach, we see that the low to medium level of starting knowledge generally increased by 36%, more so in disease because there was a low initial level, and in weeds there was already a good understanding people felt, but we also saw there an increase in knowledge. Delighted to see that retailers and consultants and farmers were inclined to use this information often. What's important when we see the demonstrated use of the knowledge? When we read the newspaper, we see good things. Our extension administrators, they don't care too much about these numbers. They like to hear verbal feedback. And remember, our school's been under operation for 23 years. A lot of those early graduates are now people of influence in the ag industry. Yet they still remember that, and when they drop that in conversation, that sticks with our extension administrators more so than these graphs. There's strong demand to continue. We not only say we coexist, but we cooperate with the corporate training that's delivered. Our difference is corporate delivered schools have concentrated more on products than practices, and more on technologies than techniques. And we see ourselves complementing that with our thing. And something that's very, very important is our presenters need to stay on the top of their game if they're going to remain presenting. And so it's very important that they attend other clinics and scoop ideas and extension techniques. So I don't know if Jody has time for questions.
What are your land facility requirements to do this?
It's very important. This goes through a real monkey wrench into a research farm to move around something that we're doing residual products, so things like this. We don't have a dedicated area, but we try to stay on about concentrated on 5 or 6 acres.